Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for all the prayers that have been offered already this morning. We pray that you'd help Jenny as she's getting close to delivering the baby, that you would just bless when she goes into labor, help everything to be covered and taken care of and organized and look like it, like we planned it. Pray that you help all of those things to go smoothly, that baby would be delivered safely and at the right time according to your plan. I pray that you'd help us to have a good morning this morning, finishing up on economics, getting ready to talk about social media starting as soon as next week, or I guess the week after with Awards Sunday. Be with us with everything that we study today here at church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh.
I have nursery.
Let's You have what?
Nursery.
Oh, you need to go. All right, we're on page 22. We're going to cover a lesson. This sounds like something straight out of a meeting at work. The title of the paragraph we're on at page 22 is Process versus Outcome. Right? So if I were to close this book and start talking about process versus outcome, a whole bunch of stuff from work would come out, right? Because we're always trying to get the right outcome. We're always trying to stick to our processes and procedures. We talk about documenting our processes, and we talk about capturing our results. We talk about all these crazy things. So what does this have to do with economics and your day-to-day life? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's a lot in this chapter that we've gone back and forth about where what the critics have to say about the different types of economic systems. Just because you weren't here for all of it, we talked about socialism and communism and capitalism or free market economy. We talked about what the Bible has to say about how to handle your resources, right? And we said that the closest of the worldly systems to what the Bible preaches or describes would be a free market capitalist system, right? And one of the things we need to call out today as part of this lesson, well, there's three things. It says an honest evaluation of Scripture yields three conclusions. And the first one is that not everyone has the same gifts as everyone else, right? I'm not picking on anyone, but Shane is a techie, right? He can grab a computer or a broken electronic device or whatever, and he could do stuff with it that, say, Courtney would never dream of doing, right? She wouldn't be the person, and this is not a bad thing, right? We all have different gifts. That's the point of where we're going here. She wouldn't be the person we would call if we had a problem with our computer or our phone wouldn't work right, right? We would not take it straight to Courtney if Shane was around. Shane has a gift for that kind of thing. Shane is techie, right? However, when it comes to, let's say, babysitting, now I can't remember his name, Dylan. We wouldn't, if Dylan came to us with a problem, we wouldn't take him straight to Shane, right? It's the same thing. Something's malfunctioning, but we wouldn't go to Shane with a Dylan problem. We would take that to Courtney. Courtney has a gift for working with children. Maybe Shane does too, maybe in a different way, I don't know, right? But everyone has different gifts. If we got hurt, we have a nurse in the room, we would go and see her, right? We wouldn't take our broken arm or our broken toe or whatever to Shane to fix, because that's not an electronic computer type device that he has an aptitude for. She has an aptitude for being a nurse. Does this make sense? Okay. Where did these aptitudes come from? Where did we get them? God. We didn't sign up when we were four, right? We didn't petition our parents for a specific type of training that gave us these aptitudes or these talents or these different things, right? What about someone which is rare in a Christian situation. But what about someone who's born into wealth? Like, what if you were born with the last name Bush? The Bushes have tons of oil money, right? They're filthy rich. That could be good, that could be bad. I'm not saying it's either. They were born into that. They have different resources than I do. I wasn't born into money. You can tell. I was not born into money. That's okay with me. I was born into the family God wanted me in. I have all kind of training for being the oldest of five children that makes me better equipped to be the father of now five children. Make sense? God knew what I needed better than I did. Did I want more money as a kid? Yes. Did I want a fancier car when I turned 16? Let's be honest. I wanted a car when I turned 16, right? I mean, seriously. We all have different gifts. They're given by God to us for specific purposes. Some of us in this room may never have the opportunity to manage vast resources and give millions of dollars to the kingdom of God. Some of us may have the opportunity over many years in the workforce to give just a few thousand dollars each year, and over the course of a lifetime, give a large sum of money to further God's kingdom. However, all of our toils, I saw something this morning or yesterday that said, I never planned to work this hard to be this poor. Wow. But what are we investing in, right? We have whatever God gives us, these talents, right? People running for president, talk about people with great resources. I am not supporting any candidate, right? There may be one or two that I think might be a decent president. I'm probably not going to mention their names. I am not supporting any candidate here. However, look at Donald Trump has vast resources. He looked at the campaign finance people and said, forget it, I'll just pay for it. A presidential campaign, he's just going to write a check? Sure, it doesn't bother him a bit. Vast resources. What about Ben Carson? He doesn't have nearly the money that Donald Trump has. But he has resources Donald Trump doesn't. Ben Carson is a brain surgeon. He has spent his life, are you ready for this? Saving people's lives. Changing people's lives for the better. Does that make him a great president? I have no clue. Right? I'm just saying, people in the news today have different resources. What if Donald Trump was born with Ben Carson's abilities? Then you'd have a loudmouth buffoon working on people's brains. Do you think Ben Carson could go into a business situation and command the room the way Donald Trump does if roles were reversed? No. God gave them each different talents for what he was going to have them to do. Now, do I feel like either of those men is using their talent 100% for God? I don't think so. I have no clue. Right? Do I think God gave all those talents to them because there was a chance that God could get them to get saved and use them for his kingdom? Sure, that's possible. What about, is there a Donald Trump-type businessman in Scripture anywhere? Just think. What about the guy who told all his brothers, one day you'll bow down to me? Can you see Donald Trump doing that? One day I'll be in charge. God told me in a dream, I'm it. I could see Donald Trump saying that to people. You know, back in the day when dreams were the thing.
I actually read something that he did. Like his older brother, he's building blocks with his brother's blocks, and he ended up gluing them together so his brother couldn't play with them anymore. But this is his idea, you know, building his structure.
How much did Joseph end up managing? How much resources did Joseph end up in charge of? The only country in the world that the Bible says has a plan to survive the 7-year famine So probably the only place in the world you can go buy food, and Egypt had silos and silos and silos of food. And who's in charge of it all? God gave him that audacity that he had for a reason. God also gave him the executive abilities to manage all those resources. Can God use Donald Trump even if Donald Trump isn't saved? Okay. What about a different example? Can God use Barack Obama to work his purpose even if Barack Obama isn't saved? I hate to be this way, but there's a lot of things in the world that will be a certain way when the rapture happens. And without delving into forecasts of the future, politics of the Middle East, intifadas, jihad, without diving into all that, there are lots of things that have happened with Barack Obama as our president that may be bringing us closer to a world that's ready for the rapture. I'm not saying that. God did not send me an email and say Barack Obama was my tool I used to get the world ready for. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying God could totally be using Barack Obama and his strange policies to line things up for God's plan. And we might think, oh no, that's really bad. Not for us. Not for those who believe in God. It's our ticket out of here. Right? So, everyone has different resources given by God, but he all expects us to manage the resources. But he expects each of us to manage the resources he gives us. Right? That's stewardship. Second, God allows some to have more than others so they might have the opportunity to support those in need. You remember the Corinthian church taking up money to go to the needy believers? Remember that? We just got through missions conference and we talked a lot about that. That was God's plan. Looking at the people we've been talking about, how many of you have heard of the great things that the Obama fortunes have done for the poor people of the world? What about all the money Donald Trump has given to feed the widows and orphan children? Oh, I haven't heard about that. What about people who... I'm trying to think of a celebrity who actually did this, someone we would have all heard of. I can't think of anybody. Most of the time, when people are famous and have tons of resources, they don't use it for God the way God would use it. How many of you on the way to church this morning saw someone sitting at an intersection asking for money? And some of those people are scamming you. Some of those people go home to a nice warm house every night. I'm not saying they don't. Some of them are probably scamming you. Some of them probably really are homeless. We come down 22nd Street, and we go by the park where the homeless people are all laying on the grass all night, every night. Which of us had a better night's sleep than them? Because it was pretty cold out last night. Which of us has more cash in our pocket than they do, or access to more cash? Which of us has a warm meal and a warm cup of coffee in the morning that none of them have? Right? And then which of us turned around and did anything about the fact that they don't have it? Now, I'll admit, I have a really hard time. I go to I work on the south side down at Valencia and Drexel and Tucson Boulevard, right? And there's nice areas right there. And of course, the building I work in is safe. I'm not saying I'm in the ghetto or anything, but to get there, I drive through several pockets of not nice areas of town. And sometimes I'll stop and put gas in my car, or I'll stop and get a nice tea or whatever. And people will come. Like, you don't even see them when you pull in. And then all of a sudden, there's someone walking towards you. And they want to know if you can give them just $2 for gas money to get to pick up their kid at school and get him home on the bus. They want a bus fare, or they want money for food. I have a hard time because what I'm afraid of is I'm going to give them some cash and they're going to take God's money out of my hand and they're going to go in there and buy an alcoholic beverage, or they're going to go buy cancer sticks, or they're going to, you know, I have a hard time giving them cash. But what does the Bible teach us? Why are we blessed with this wealth? In some cases, like in the case of the Corinthian church, we're blessed with resources to give to those in need. What if this guy's sob story really was real? What if his wife really is home with a baby? The baby's sick, and they have no money for diapers. I'll never forget this guy. It was years ago. We were on our way home from when we went to a different church. And we didn't even have Joel or JoJo at the time. That's how long ago this was. And we were in the parking lot of Safeway. And this guy, this big bundle of diapers under his arm, and he was running back towards Safeway from the bus stop, right on Gulf Links in Beaumont, right here. And we were like, what's going on? And it just looked weird. So we asked him. Jenny and I were there. We had two kids with us, and they weren't big like they are now, but they weren't that small. Like, what happened? It's like, I missed the last bus. I can't get home. We're like, oh, do you have somewhere to go? He's like, I'm fine. I can go, you know, sit up against the building or whatever. It's not going to be that cold. But my wife's at home with the newborn with no diapers. And I took the bus to the store and got the diapers. But now I can't get home. And I was like, okay, well, what are your possible ways to get home? It was before the days of Uber and all this crazy stuff, right? He couldn't just take an Uber. He didn't have a $600 or $900 smartphone in his hand, right? $100 a month plan, but you can't afford a car to get home, right? There was nothing like that here. He didn't have a phone. He didn't have anything. So we said, what are your options to get home? He's like, I can take a cab. And I said, okay, how much does it cost to take a cab from here to your house? And he says, I don't know, it'll probably be $10 or $15. And I said, okay, do you have cash for that? He said, no. So I gave him a tract with our church's address on it and put a $20 bill in there. And I said, go ahead and get home. Take the diapers to the wife. I understand the position you're in. I'm a father. I have children. I get it. And we never thought another thing of it. We get to church the next Sunday. This guy has called the church office like 10 times trying to get our names. And he had described us to a T, and the church secretary had said, well, that's Sam and Jenny, and they had left a message for us in our Sunday school box because we were teaching there. And this guy's desperate to get a hold of us and pay us back the $20. And we're like, we don't want the $20. We did that to help you. It's like, but I didn't have any cash. I didn't have any way to get cash at the time. But I can pay you back, and I want to pay you back. And our only request to him was, rather than paying us back, come to church. Just come to church. And he didn't. And that's between him and God, right? That's not our concern. But we give him the $20 so we could get $20 back later. We saw someone in need and we were trying to help him. That's what God's looking for us to do. I believe that guy was genuine. I believe he really did need to get home with the diapers. I believe he really was in a pickle. And we helped him. Right? That's it. Another time at the same... This is Safeway, must be jinxed. At the same Safeway, we're on our way home. And the car runs out of gas, and it was actually as we were going to church here, and I'm trying to push the minivan across the intersection into the parking lot. Your suit, tie, is before I lost the weight. I weighed like almost 300 pounds. I was a big guy. I could do anything, right? So I told my wife, I'm like, jump in the driver's seat. You steer, I'll push. And I ran around. I got behind that van, and I started to push, and it was so hard. I got the thing moving, but barely, and we're going as hard as I can go. I'm barely making this car move. And out of nowhere, this guy, this little skinny guy, shows up behind me and starts helping me push. And I'm like, this is great. And two is like four times better than one in that situation. And we get it across the parking lot and up to the gas pump. And I gave him a couple dollars to go inside and get himself a cold drink or whatever. And gave him a card for Shining Light. He shows up and brings a visitor. The next time we have service, God uses the dumbest things. Sam forgetting to put gas in the car was part of God's plan, right? That's the one time I have an excuse for being an idiot. God uses everything. He wants us to use our resources to help others. If I didn't have resources to have a car, I couldn't have run it out of gas. I couldn't have been there for that guy to help me push. He came, he heard the gospel, he talked to pastor. I don't know that he got saved or he didn't. His guest came, right? God's using what he has, what we have, to benefit him. All right, third. There's a whole bunch of scriptures here. I was going to go over them all, but I've already been flagged down. I'm going to run out of time. So we'll pick the one I was going to use for the memory verse. Bible provides reasons why income inequality might exist. Ruth 1:1, there was a famine in the land. In Job 1:20 and 21 and 1 Samuel 2:7, God had taken the money and the resources that the richest man who ever lived had. He had taken it away to test that man. You ever been tested? Is it our place to say when God is testing us, if we run into a hard time, should we throw our hands up and look up and say, okay, God, what's this test about? Didn't expect to have a sick kid this week. Why are you testing me so hard? Is that our place? Is that what Job did? No. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's attitude didn't change when he went from the richest man in the world to the most tormented. Attitude didn't change. So sometimes our resources or lack thereof are directly caused by God for God's purposes. All right, let's look at Proverbs 10:4. To save time, I'm going to pull it up on my electronic device here rather than... Oh, look, I'm already there. Proverbs 10:4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So this list of scriptures, several of which we talked about, were Bible reasons why income inequality might exist. How many of you have ever heard someone say, whether political or not, those poor people are just poor because they're lazy. They need to go out and get a job. I've heard that before. I promise you, I've even thought that before. I've looked at people who are bigger, stronger, in better physical condition than I am. And at the time I was working two jobs. One job was sitting at Intuit all day. The other job was walking around the mall as a security guard. And at the time I worked security, I made $10 an hour or something like that. I look at that guy who's begging me for $2 so he can have something to eat today. And I'm like, you'd be a heck of a lot scarier security guard than I am. Go get yourself a job. And in 1 hour, you can earn five times this much money. I thought that. I have had that thought. Is it our place to decide that about other people? Is it our place to judge? No. But the Bible does say, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. So if you're lazy, you're going to end up poor. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It doesn't say the hand of someone who works hard once. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. Diligence is doing the right thing every time over long periods of time. That's diligence. Right? So that'll be our memory verse, Proverbs 10:4. And there are Bible cases that agree with the Bible, that agree with God's will, where if you work hard, God will bless it, and you'll get the reward. But if you're lazy, you'll get that. You'll get what you earned, right? You will not be rich being lazy. So, that pretty much wraps up. If you look at the last page, it's just summary. That wraps up our economics. Next week, I think we have awards Sunday, so we probably won't get to be in our little cubby in here. But the week after, if there is no baby Joy in my house, we will start on the social media truth. How many of you consider Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff? How many of you consider that a tool?
A tool?
A tool.
A basic tool.
I put VBS on there every year. My company has.
Think about that until we get to talk again. How can we use it as a tool? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything you describe in there. How we could even use the Bible as a textbook to learn something about economics. Pray that you'd help us as we study for learning how to use social media and for positive outcome in the future. Help us to have a good week this week serving you. Help baby Joy and my sister Ruth's baby to be delivered on time at the right time and be delivered safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.